When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Liz.
I'm Lex.
And this is our podcast. Welcome.
Welcome, guys.
And Chai.
if you're watching on video. This is actually Chai's big debut.
I know.
We need to get Chaco in here.
Oh, trust me. The second we can have both of them on our laps, we will. Like, it's just how it's going to be.
It will be.
We're going to describe the little rebrand, because for those of you at home who are subscribed to Tea with P, you're probably like, what's happening?
Yes, what's going on?
I feel like you guys are familiar with Lex being a guest on the show. I had her on a few times in a row. Chai's going nuts because I have treats next to me. I was talking to Lex one day. What was it? You were a guest on my podcast and we went and got tacos and quesadillas. Yes.
And it just went, it was so easy. And we were talking and you're like, what if we just did this on a more regular basis?
Yes.
Like so forever.
Like forever, yeah.
I think what was so special was when we got together and we were doing the podcast, it felt like we were just hanging out talking.
We're getting rid of Chai. We're ridding her from the studio.
Yeah, it was like, it was so natural and it was just like we were hanging out and we could have talked for hours and we were like, wait, we should do this.
That's what attracted me to podcasts that I used to listen to all the time.
It was, yes, that's what you said.
Listening to friends, and it was listening to women.
It felt like,
and
you were like a part of a conversation.
Exactly. And I was like, that's what I like. And I always try to do, like, as a consumer, if this is what I like, that's probably what other people like too. Yes. Or someone out there has to like that.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of what I aim for. So we're doing a little limited series right now just to kind of kick things off.
Let's give it a go. I'm excited. I'm so ready.
I'm so ready.
I've been like so waiting patiently for this. I'm like, I have so much to say and it couldn't be a better time.
Over these 6 weeks, we have some really great topics planned out for you guys about friendship, fertility, business.
Yes. There's really good, juicy, deep topics.
Yeah. So today we're going to focus on making friends as adults. Mm-hmm. But first, we wanted to give you guys like a little personal life update and just update you guys on like what's going on in our lives.
I mean,
you first.
Okay. If you follow my Instagram at all, you hear my pain every day. I have the noisiest neighbors, and it sucks because you just moved really close to me.
So close.
But I'm moving in 2 days. I'm so excited. I'm all packed up. It's like I can't get out of there fast enough.
You hit a wall with that place.
I hit a wall, and I just can't get back. And it's like dark in the living room, and the neighbors are so noisy. I feel like I'm starting to go crazy. And I'm only moving 7 minutes away, so I'm still going to be close.
Yeah, it's close.
I am so excited. I honestly, all I've been thinking about is waking up Saturday in this new place.
Aww.
And how excited I am for that.
But the thing is, like, I love a move. I move every year like you, like we're the worst. But the thing is, like, I think it switches up your energy. And that's why I think I like moving. I like redecorating.
I know you do.
I like to do that. Like,
and so this was a big indicator. And I remember I FaceTimed you because I was like, I love your decorating. And I wanted you to see it like as a blank canvas so I can still FaceTime you next time. But I was like, when I got into that space, when I went to take measurements, I was just like, I'm so excited to decorate. And I didn't feel that way about where I currently live. I just like dumped myself. I didn't even hang pictures on the wall.
That goes to show.
It was like, I knew in my gut I wasn't going to be there for long. And so now I'm like, this is like my space. I'm going to make it, you know, my home.
Your happy place.
And I think you're right. And we talked about this with dating too, of like, you have to like switch up your energy.
100%.
And I feel like this place is like swallowing my energy.
Yeah.
And I'm already feeling this like new motivation and spark and excitement for just life in general. I feel like that place is like swallowing me.
I think there's like apartment depression. I know that sounds
bizarre. But I think it's dark. Like it's, you know, and so it's like you don't get that light. Like it feels like you're suffocating. Like I think it'll make where I'm moving is like open and airy. Like you'll see
it's
it.
Like light.
Yeah.
Well, I had this one apartment 1 year and it was the most depressed year of my life. And I don't think it was the apartment's fault necessarily. Like I was just unwell. But I can't even look at that street in New York. Like when I look at like 24th Street, I'm like, vomit.
Yeah.
It just triggers such bad memories because I'm like, there was unhappy times there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like I want to get rid of it. It was dark times.
I know.
Times.
I'm like, I feel like I'm like getting rid of the bad juju by moving out of there. I'm so excited. So that is like the only thing I've been focused on. That and the fact that Pinterest is going to Coachella. And that's it. That's all I do.
That's amazing. Well, okay, then, because I want people to know who are new to both of us, like people that are finding me through you
and vice versa,
what we do. But first, let me, I'll share my personal life update, and then we'll give our professional background. We'll give our LinkedIn 101. So basically, I just moved to new studio, better equipment. It's still a work in progress. The curtain behind Lex is gonna be a different color, like, but this is pretty much it. I'm really happy with it. I'm really pleased. I literally blood, sweat, and tears, like, drilled up these curtains and made the studio come to life, like, lugging these cameras around.
Mm-hmm.
But my bigger updates are the fact that I've been so overwhelmed. Like, I feel this sense of, like, overwhelm that I haven't felt in a really long time with finances, medical, and time.
Just, like, scheduling.
I feel like 2024 is the busiest year of my life so far. Mm-hmm. It's 1.5 months. It's, like, 2 months in.
But you've had so many major life changes, and they keep coming.
Many things, and it's not stopping for another 6 months. So I literally think this will be the busiest year of my life. Updates that I've been keeping from you guys are, one, I am moving to the East Coast.
I just can't.
For 3 months. So I'm not moving back. I'm going to be completely honest. I have no desire to move back. Like, I absolutely love California. I'm really happy with my life here. I love my friends here. It's way too soon to ever make a move back.
No. You've just got settled.
Yeah, I'm so happy. But I don't say what Sean does professionally. Yeah. But that said, my boyfriend, he got an opportunity to go to New Jersey for 3 months because for his work. And basically, I rather him go to New Jersey than like somewhere random like Louisiana or whatever. So I'm like, take it. Also, it just so happens that it's the best 3 months for me because it's my dad's birthday. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's my sister's giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm doing something business-wise on the East Coast
and
in June.
And for people that are coming for me, like, you're from Jersey.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, so your family is there.
Yes.
So you're also going to have, like, 3 months with your family.
And with Sean really in time. My happy place with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool. Like, I'm so thrilled. I'm so happy we're going for 3 months. What I'm saying is, like, I'm not ready to, like, fully move back.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But the 3 months I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. And they're, like, great 3 months.
Yeah.
So will you be there for 4th of July?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wait, you should come out a weekend to the Jersey
Shore. I will. You know, I've never been to the Jersey Shore.
Because I was talking to Lauren about this. Like,
let's do this.
It's so fun. It's the best. And
I'm in.
I'm really excited. Like, I really am so excited, but I'm not ready to, like, move. But what I'm working, why I'm so overwhelmed is balancing two rents, because we have to get an apartment for 3 months. And the logistics of that, signing a lease and this and that, shipping my car, all of the logistics.
Wait, you're
going to
ship your car there for those 3 months?
Yeah.
Is that cheaper than renting a car?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I found a good little Instagram deal,
ooh,
which I'm still paying, but yes, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And then on top of that stuff, I think the reason why I'm mostly so stressed, and then I'll stop going on and on about this, is I have documented it a little bit on TikTok, but I have PCOS and I have a fibroid in my uterus. A fibroid is a benign tumor. It's 9 centimeters. I need to get it out. So I finally bit the bullet and made my surgery date.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out how much my insurance wasn't going to cover, even though it's in network. You know, self-employed,
yes,
my insurance,
of course.
I pay for a great insurance, but it's still just not the best. And I had a literal breakdown, and then it sent me into a complete spiral about, like, healthcare in America.
Like, girl, I'm Canadian. Don't get me started on this topic. Like, if we want to do a whole episode of me screaming, we can't. If you can't afford to live,
sobbing,
you can't live here. Like, like, they're literally basically saying there is a cost to your life.
Well,
and it's so expensive.
Because I'm an empath, I was like, I could afford this, but what if I could? Then I'm crying for everyone else. Like, I was on a rip. Like, I was like, how do people do this? What if your kid gets sick? What? Like, I was so livid.
It's mental.
It's mental. So, like, I was on a whole tear about that, spiraling about the cost, and I want to freeze my eggs this year. And I was like going down a deep spiral of, like, they tell you to save for a house and for kids and for college tuition for those future kids and all of these things. And it's like, if all of my savings is going to my reproductive health before I even have the kids, how am I going to afford the rest of it?
So I know.
This is where America. I'm in a dark place.
I mean, I'm so sorry to hear that because I do empathize with you. I froze my eggs. I was really fortunate to not have any issues like PCOS and things like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I have insurance through my job and like, it's really beneficial, but we didn't have the same benefits in Canada that we had in the US. Like the second I moved here, I was like, I'm freezing my eggs because they cover it. Mm. Like that's such a luxury that people don't get.
See, I don't have that luxury.
And it's just like, again, to your point, if people, like, if you get sick in any capacity, what do people do?
What do people do without
insurance?
Well, this is why I'm flipping out. And then I'm like, insurance doesn't even do shit anyway.
I know.
I was just, it sent me down a tailspin of just like, I am privileged and I could do this. I'm just complaining about doing it because it's a lot
at once. But it's also shocking to your system when you realize,
yes,
like, how, like, yes, your insurance covers it. But like, again, to your point, there are people that don't have that.
That's why I was flipping out.
And why is that even, like, how is that even a factor of living in America?
No, it's crazy.
Insane.
So we could talk about that more on, like, the fertility episode and PCOS, yes, and all of that. But I've been dealing with that this week. Oh, wait, really? And then just a funny caveat. So then I go to the dentist today just to get, like, a cleaning.
No.
They hit me with a $2,400 root canal. Then I go to my car, $55 ticket. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Why do you need a root canal?
I have an old cavity that, like, recavitied.
Is it painful?
Not really, but, like, she said if I leave it, the risk is that it could, like, affect my nerve, whatever. Oh. So now I have to get my first ever root canal. I'm like, when it rains, it pours. Like, I'm just getting hit from every which way.
And that's what happens. It's like, I had another girlfriend. She had to take her dog to, like, the emergency vet. And then it was this. And she said, she was texting me, right? Because she's living here from Canada for a few months. And she was just like, that money was my rent money. Like, I don't know. She's also a founder. She's self-employed. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to figure this out. And I'm just like, how is this okay? Like, mm-hmm, what is happening right now? What's in the stars?
And I'm just telling myself, I told you this a little over text, but I'm like, I just tell myself, like, things are, I'm abundant. I'm going to do a money manifestation. And again, I'm not complaining because I luckily do have savings. I'm just disappointed that my savings is just keep getting pulled from.
Well, that's like, the thing. It's like, you're just like,
I thought savings were for later down the road. Not today. I know,
not now. And suddenly, later down the road is here, and you're like, what the fuck?
So
I'm just a baby.
Am I just aging? Or
no, you're just becoming an adult.
Yeah,
it sucks.
So that's my personal life update.
Don't you also, the last thing I'll say about this, because this is what I think all the time, I'm like, how the fuck did my parents pay for all of this shit with like two kids?
I don't get it.
A house, like,
this is why I'm struggling. I was having a full-blown panic attack.
You're like, I'm one person.
I was like, no, because I was like panicking, like, future thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm my kid's college tuition. Like,
yes.
I was just freaking out about how do people live life
and afford to live life.
When you could plan all you want, but you could get hit with these things that you don't know you're going to get hit with.
Yep.
And that's what was such a big wake up call to me.
I know. It's so exhausting. This happened, like, I went through this in December with all this stuff, but it's to your, like, to your point, it's the, it'll come back.
Yeah.
The abundance of it all. Like, yes, it's stressful, but you will get through it. The only way out is through. And you will be at the other side and it'll be a distant memory.
Yeah.
But it's just all at once. And it feels so heavy. Like, when these things happen, I always, like, feel very alone. Which, like,
so alone.
Not because I don't have people. It's just, like, you're taking this on all by yourself.
And I think another thing that really sent me on another spiral is I come from a very privileged area. I have very privileged friends, and all of them are freezing their eggs around this year as well. Mm-hmm. But they're not paying for it.
Yeah.
Their parents are paying for it, which, good for, I wish my parents were paying for it. That's my point. But I was like, it's like, I can't even get advice from people in my life because everyone's
can't,
like,
relate.
Just do it this winter. I'm like, easy for you to fucking say. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So then that was making me spiral even more because everyone's like, oh, yeah, I don't know the costs. Like, I don't know. My parents handled it.
Thought about it.
No.
Because they haven't had to.
And so I'm just like, you know, again, I'm not going to complain about money because, again, I'm fine. But it was just one of those weeks where it felt like everything was just hitting me from all directions. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We will get through it. It is fine. But the fibroid surgery, I think I am canceling because I was going to go the surgical route, which is inpatient and basically a C-section. But now,
what?
Oh yeah, it's crazy. 4 to 6 weeks recovery. Now I've talked to a few different doctors and they said to go the laparoscopic route, which is outpatient, which my insurance covers more of.
What does that
and
mean?
It's less invasive and way better recovery. So I think I'm going to switch it up. These are the things I've been dealing with, like really heavy things. Like this is surgery on my uterus.
Yeah. And it's like you said, 4 to 6 weeks. It's not like a simple in and out.
No.
Even with freezing my eggs, I had my retrieval. I was drinking an Aperol spritz 3 hours later. Like, you know?
This is like in bed. People need to help me out of bed. Like, bad. Yeah. So that's what's been going on with me. I will keep you guys posted. I am going to be documenting this process because I do think no one talks about this stuff.
It's super important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it needs to be discussed. Mm-hmm. We'll do a whole episode on this stuff. But could we quickly just touch on professional?
Yeah.
Give us your
what do I do?
Your resume.
I work on brand experiences and brand partnerships at Pinterest. Yeah. I've been there for like almost 5 years.
It's unbelievable.
I started there in Toronto in Canada. They moved me here to the U.S. Like, it'll be 3 years in May, which is so crazy. I'm also going through my green card process, so, like, we can touch on that in the professional conversation, like, visas and global experience and things like that. But, yeah, I do fun. My job is really fun.
It is.
I love my job. It's just a lot.
She's working on something for Coachella, so it's, like, that's been so busy as well.
It's been really busy, but I'm really excited about it.
It will be so rewarding.
Yeah.
And then for me, I started my career as a publicist and kind of forayed that into entertainment and social media and TikTok and podcast. Mm-hmm. And I launched a tea business this year. So this is my first flavor, Binge Watch Black Tea. I'm actually drinking it because I needed a little caffeine boost. And I have a second flavor launching in a few weeks. Oh, and I host tea parties. So far I've done 2 in LA, but they will be popping up around the country. So stay tuned.
I know.
But that's kind of what I'm working on.
I know, and I'm excited for your second tea.
Me too. I'm so excited. Everything is coming together. Let's get into today's topic. Making friends as an adult.
Making friends as an adult, and I feel like, I would say we're very qualified to talk about this. Mm-hmm. We both, like, I moved to a new country in my 30s. You moved across the country in your 30s. We had to basically start from scratch here.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. And I get asked about this. I do Q&As on Sundays on my Instagram. I get asked this question almost every single week.
Do you know I get it almost every time I do a Q&A as well? Every time. And first of all, it makes me sad. Like, there's how lonely people are.
Yeah, there's a loneliness epidemic.
I know, because I've definitely felt that way. I think, tell me if you agree, I think the loneliest time in, like, a young adult's life is 26, 27, 28, when your friends, when half of them are single and partying and blacking out, and then the other half are married with children.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know where to go.
And it's the first time in your life that that's happened. Like,
if you,
like, went to school, you know, elementary, high school, college, and then you graduated college, moved, worked, whatever, like, you're in your first job, second job, but, like, that's the first time your timeline with your friends starts to go in different directions. And it's so weird. It's like polarizing.
I felt so lost at that age. And I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people writing in are in that bracket.
Yep.
Because it's a very tough time. You don't want to be partying and you might not want to be married either.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But I think because we are on social media, I think it gives us a different opportunity than like an everyday person to just DM someone and make friends.
Yes. But I think there are like takeaways that I've learned in doing that I think can apply to everybody. Like,
me too.
What I always suggest to people is like, think about what your interests are. Like, we met because like we both talked about entertainment and pop culture and everything. Then we got to get to know each other and we had other like similar values and interests. But it's like, what are the things that you genuinely like? Find a Facebook group that's local. Go on Eventbrite and see if there's different events. Like, we both know Camber app in LA. Like, are there different websites in wherever you live that are local that like find your interest and find people that share in that interest? I feel like that is such a low hanging fruit way that you can just like try it out. Because even if you don't meet anybody, hopefully whatever event or activity you go and do, like, you still have fun.
I completely agree. Also, that reminds me of like when I first moved here, I intentionally did things to put myself out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember I signed up for, like, a tennis lesson by myself, and it was an all-females tennis lesson.
With the really competitive
girl. Yeah, the really competitive girl. I liked everyone but the one bitch that was trying to beat me. But everyone else after was like, oh, do you want to do another class? And I'm like, yeah. And we all exchanged numbers and, like, made a group chat. Mm-hmm. And just little things like that. Like, even my friend Lisa, she loves the gym Rumble, and she has a whole community of people that she's met at the gym because they all go to the same classes. So I think it could be something as small as, like, a gym class that you like, or a run club.
I was going to say Venice Run Club. Like, yeah. I was going there before I broke my toe, and, like, I made so many friends, and now, like, I'll go to Pilates with, like, a girl. No, I know, but it's like, but even, like, that one of the girls is, like, her and I were in run club, and then when we went to Ojai for tennis, like, she was there. Pool. Yeah, like, and it's like somebody you see working out. So that is a really good one. Workout in, like, clubs like that, clubs. Or intramural sports.
Yeah.
Those are really good.
I think those are big. And then also there's other things like book clubs or...
Yes.
I think I get that not all cities have that, but there are... Even if you don't have a huge presence on social media, I think you could use social media as a tool, like joining Facebook groups that some of your favorite podcasts run.
Yes.
Because you could find like-minded people.
And people there are always inclined to do meetups and stuff.
Ooh, I had a good one pop into my head. Going to podcasters' live shows.
Yes.
Because, like, I know when I did 2 live shows in New York... A lot of people went solo, and I created a Facebook group for them to meet. And a lot of them planned to get drinks before and meet and go. And then I remember at my second show, a few girls were like, we're best friends now, and we met at your first live show.
Stop it.
And it's because they just, like, put themselves out there, and they came alone. And a lot of people would come alone.
Yeah.
And I respect the hell out of it.
I know. That is something. I've gone places alone before, but also, like, I get scared.
Uh-huh, me too.
Especially now that I am more settled in LA, and I'm like, I don't want to do things.
But you know what? Even the other day, I had a Macy's event, and I went alone, and this girl walked through the door, and, like, you know how influencers are. Like, you could recognize someone, and people just act like they don't know you. The second she walked in, I go, oh my God, you're the girl from TikTok shop. Like, I knew her. I keep getting served her content.
You are good. Like, again, I would be the same way. Some people aren't like that, but it's like, I would just call it out right away.
I just said it. And then we both had the same hairstyle. And she goes, you watched the viral video? I was like, yeah, you too. She's like, yeah. We were twins. Like, we had the same hair, the same earrings.
Did you take a photo together?
I'm like, we are two bitches that consume social. Like,
two bitches telling each other exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
exactly.
I hate myself.
So predictable.
But we
that was so funny. You can't plan that. But we literally sat next to each other at dinner, and now we exchanged numbers, and we're getting coffee next week.
Good.
So my point is, like, just put yourself out there, say something, like, throw yourself out of your comfort zone, compliment someone's hairstyle.
Yes.
You never know.
It really does come down to pushing yourself a little bit out of that zone.
Even, I find sometimes, like, even when I was younger especially, I would almost be scared to even, like, look up the event on Eventbrite or something like that. Because, like, if I looked it up, then I had to go.
Yeah.
You know, and you can stay comfortable and, like, not go for it. So I feel like that, again, is, like, the attitude that you have to keep is just, like, just step up to the plate. Like, try something. Yes. Do one thing new and, like, feel the exhilaration.
I always say treat it like college orientation.
Yeah.
Because I remember that first week, no one knows anyone. It's a clean slate and you have no choice but to make friends.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. And I'm like, if you just treat it like it's, like, especially if you're in a new city, like, you're new. When I moved into my old building, I would be in the elevator and I'd be like, hey, how are you? I was, like, saying hi to people.
Oh, my
now
God.
Now I look down. But, like, I was just in that vibe.
Yeah, you wanted to meet people. Put yourself out there.
And I did. So, that's our advice with that. Anything else to add?
No, I mean, I think the last thing I would say, just really reiterate the going places alone. I do. I have, like, one girlfriend. She's, like, really outgoing. But, like, she'll just go, like, work at a coffee shop alone, sit at a bar for a happy hour and just, like, chat with people. Again, it doesn't have to be drinking. It can go be working. Like, go work at a different coffee shop once a week. If you see similar people or whatever, like, you'll start
you
to...
You naturally start talking.
Yeah. But go by yourself if that's, you know, because then it forces you to push yourself into that zone.
Get a dog. Because
I mean,
well, like, the other day I took Chai to, it was my first day that I moved to this area, so new area for me, and I must have had new person vibes, like, come talk to me vibes, but I was holding Chai and I was at a coffee shop, men, women, mothers, brothers,
everyone
was getting
comes
stopped
up to you.
by everyone and their mother. I met this girl. She's like, I have a Pomeranian. I loved her vibe. I'm like, where do you get your earrings? I could have been friends with her. Like, I'm not really looking for friends anymore. But had that been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or a year ago, I would have been like, give me your number. Let's hang out.
Exactly.
You know, like, I liked her. I'm like, oh, this is fun. I know.
The dog one is good.
It really helps. People just
walk up to you.
I know. And they just talk. Do you think it's weird when people kiss your dog?
Yes.
I don't like it.
I also, like, this is way too excessive. But, like, sometimes if there are people and I don't know them and then they just, like, reach down and start touching, I'm like, I don't know where your hands have been. Mm. You're sitting, like, eating a scone at the coffee shop and then suddenly you're rubbing it in my dog's face. Like, wash your hands.
If you want my dog to lick your face, I'm sorry, that's invasive.
Yeah. But people want it.
I don't like that. It really freaks me out.
Choco has, like, a tongue thing, a nervous tick. So, like, he'll always lick people. And I'm like, please stop.
No, I see them grabbing Chai because she's so little and letting them kiss her. And I'm like, it's my dog. Would you do that to my boyfriend? Like, leave her alone.
They might.
It's weird. It's so weird.
I know. People see a cute dog and they just one track mind.
Poor Chai.
Yeah,
I need to get her like a collar with spikes. No, I'm kidding.
Do not touch.
Yeah. Okay, I want to get into like our little industry news segment. Are you following the Tarte Trip unboxings?
Okay, so I just read like a little article on it in a newsletter that I get. And they were basically talking about the fact that the Tarte girls, they're doing a Tarte trip to Bora Bora, and the gifting that they sent them was so outrageously expensive. It was like a Canon camera
that I bought myself this week, and it's out of stock. I had to get it on eBay, and everyone has one.
And then there was what was the other thing? There was
Nike sneakers.
The Nike, yeah.
And then they like catered each box to every person, which I think nice touch as a former publicist. Like, I think it's like one girl just had a baby and they sent her like stuff for her baby. And that I thought was like, they sent her like a breastfeeding pillow.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, that's really thoughtful.
But it's just like so expensive.
It's
who did I see in the thing? It was that Hannah girl.
Okay, this is what I think's interesting about it.
Tell me.
This is where I get myself into trouble.
Tell me.
Because I'm going to try to, like, I put out a thread, like, that was controversial, and then I deleted it. Because I'm like, bitch, like, you don't need to say this stuff out loud. Like, you could just talk shit with your friends.
Well, talk shit with me on a podcast.
But I think what's different for me than most brands, if you go on a trip with, like, Birkenstock.
Yep.
You're going to be like, at Birkenstock, thank you so much. You're not going to be like, at Birkenstock, at founder of Birkenstock.
Oh, yes.
Like, why is Morgan Kelly, like...
Yeah.
Why is everyone kissing her ass? I'm sorry.
Because they want to go on the trips. But I hear what you're saying. You're basically saying, like, make it about the brand. But she's trying to, like, build her own personal brand off the back of her brand.
And I don't even know if it's her doing it. It's everyone kissing her ass. Mm-hmm. And that's what's turning me away. But I feel
like
they did that
with Revolve with, like, is it Risa? Remember Revolve Around the World? Yes. They do all that. And it was Risa, the girl. Like,
yeah.
Everyone always would tag her and be like, queen and da-da-da-da. It's like, I think it's like... I think there's also an element of, I am so close, like, I know this person personally.
Like,
you know?
I don't even need to use a last name.
It's like, and, like, I can tag them, like, I know them, like, we're so close and so tight, and so I'm gonna tag the person, not just the brand.
I just wanna already call myself out for being a hypocrite, because, like, I would kiss her ass, too.
Yeah, I mean, if everyone was doing it, of course you would. If she invited
me to Bora Bora, I'd be like, Maury!
But I see, so on the other side of the coin, and I'm not like, I'm not an entrepreneur, so I don't know, but like, I'd be like, I don't want to go on these trips. Like, I want to be at home with my family. Like,
yeah.
Relaxing, raking in the dough. You
true,
know?
True, I get what you're saying. Like, if you're so big at some point, just let the team handle the marketing and like.
Yeah. And not even like let the team, but it's like, she's putting herself in a position as the face of the brand that like, she will be expected to be on all of those trips and things. So like, won't there, like, I don't know. You know this about me. Like,
yeah.
Like, I always hear, like, Kim Kardashian has talked about it with Skims. Like, it's like, your brand needs to exist without your face being associated with it. And
yeah.
I feel like what she's doing is, like, the
it's
opposite.
It's almost the opposite. That's what I'm saying.
And I don't know if it's, like, because
the like people are leaned into it, and so like she's just going with it, or if it's like a vanity thing, like it's she wants to do it, you know.
This is why I'm so bad at having an argument or like standing on something, because I see both sides of everything.
Yeah.
Because I said one thing and now I'm like, my other flip side opinion is I heard girls on the last trip on their TikTok saying how fun she was, how much she doesn't stop, how she doesn't get tired. She might be one of those really energetic people that like lives for that.
She's like an like extrovert human to her core.
Yes. And that's the way people were describing her. So it's like, if that's the case, then I get it.
Yes.
Whereas we're like, we need to recharge alone. Yeah. So we're like, we can't comprehend. I can't comprehend going on a trip like that. And like, I've been on brand trips and I love them and I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But you're still working. Like, at least I am.
Yes.
These trips, it seems a little more unfiltered. Like, people get blackout and it's not judged. When I am invited with a brand, I try to hold myself to a certain caliber. I try to keep my drinking in order. I try to talk to the brand reps and be presentable.
And you're also hyper aware because like, they're like, at least the brand trips I've been on, it's like, they're filming you all the time.
Yes.
Like, but day to night.
So, like, for me, these trips are very draining because I'm working.
Yep.
Whereas, I think maybe the difference of the Tarte trips is, yes, they're working, but they're literally partying. So, maybe it's a more relaxed environment.
Yeah. And maybe that's why there's, again, maybe it comes down to, like, that feeling of being personal. Like, if you black out with somebody, like, you're locked for life. You know what I mean? Like, and if you feel free enough to be able to do that, then you're probably going to feel like, I love this woman. Like, she's so badass.
She literally held my hair back. Like, she
works hard, plays hard. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very interesting.
The whole time.
Why did you delete the thread? Was it a thread?
Yeah, because I said something kind of nasty.
Did somebody comment? Or you were just like,
I'm just like, this is going to get screenshotted, even though I've not. I just said something like, why is everyone kissing Maureen's ass? But this is why. Because as a consumer. As a consumer. I feel annoyed as like a
like you feel annoyed consuming the content.
I feel annoyed. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel annoyed or jealous. No. Okay. Am I jealous? No. Am I envious that they're going to Bora Bora?
Yes. Fuck yeah.
But I don't. What I'm trying to say is, take me my profession out of it. If I was just a person at home on my couch, I think I'd feel the same way. Of like, this is a little much.
Well, because you probably can tell that it's a little bit fake.
I think that's the nail on the head with the Maureen ass, because I think it's the, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah.
I think that's what's like, rubbing me the wrong way. I think
you know
it's fake
because you know people want to kiss her ass because they want to go on the next trip and the next trip.
That's what's rubbing me the wrong way. The ass kissing feels phony. It doesn't feel genuine. Like, if like, I think a genuine thing would be emailing her on the side and sending her flowers and being like,
thank you so much.
It means so much to me that you're taking me and like,
yep.
I think that's what it is, the public displays of.
Yes.
And so it's not about the trip, and it's not. It's just about phoniness.
I think it's like they're doing it for the clout, you know? Like, I think that's a part of it. To be like, look, I know her. Like, I'm tagging her. She's in my video. We're so tight. Like, I think there is a clout factor
but
to it,
but I also can't say I maybe wouldn't do the same thing.
Totally. But because it's playing the game. Probably,
and not inauthentically.
But both things can be true.
I think I would probably feel that way if I were maybe on the other side of it.
Or you would be like, it pains me to have to do this, but I'm going to do it because it's my job, and I want to continue doing my job well.
Yeah. And also, just as someone who like did work in PR and stuff, I just find it interesting to dissect this stuff, because I was the one like planning trips and doing these things, and like, we would pay influencers for like one of the big brands like $10,000 to be somewhere, $40,000 to go on something, and they wouldn't give you one extra bone. Like, they wouldn't throw you one extra free story.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm only contracted for four. Where it's like, now it's like everyone's just doing it for free.
I know.
And it's building this momentum. So to me, it's fascinating.
It's such an evolution. It's kind of wild. And it's like, I work with a lot of brand partners and things like that. Some of the consistent feedback I hear now from brands is like, if the person isn't speaking about the content organically and like very obviously,
then we don't want to partner
with them.
Which I get from a brand's perspective. Like, if I see someone talking about tea, like I was watching Love Island USA and this girl was like, I drink tea every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I DM'd her and was like, I'd love to send you some. I'm not going to go to like Emma Chamberlain, who only drinks coffee, and be like, oh, let me gift you my tea.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's like, it makes sense.
It has to make sense. But to your point is, in the past, it was like you would pay people for that type of exposure or coverage. And now so many people are influencers or want to be influencers.
that they'll just do it for free.
Well, this was, I've talked about this in the past, but this was kind of like the Revolve Around the World era. We would all partner with them for free because we wanted to get invited.
Mm-hmm. It's, and like they're like, you gotta do all 12 posts.
Yes. And it just creates a monster, which is really smart on the brand side that they are creating free buzz by huge influencers. Yes.
And people want to be a part of it. It's really fascinating. This is the thing that I always go back to, and I haven't done this research, or like, you know, I'm such a data dork. What has the ROI been on these trips? Has it actually been a positive ROI?
I think it had to have moved the needle in order for them to do it even bigger this year.
Yeah.
And I also think it probably isn't like, I'm sure week of impressions are mad. I don't know if like numbers in terms of sales are.
Yeah.
But I bet consistently throughout the year, I've heard more about Tarte since their last trip than I've heard about it 5 years prior.
Yes. So, okay, you're right, because it's like, what was like, what is the goal or like the key result that they're looking for? Is it to like build social following, or is it to actually turn over sales?
I think
so it
both.
Could just be, yeah. So I'd be curious like what those results are.
Because I bet they look at the impressions and they're like, oh my God, this one video alone got us
this much engagement rate, exposure.
Views, and then combining all of them together, to them, it's like that equals dollars in a sense.
But then, okay, I have so many questions. What was the thing that happened last year?
Where, the rooms.
Oh, like certain influencers had bigger rooms. And then did she come on and make a video getting ready apologizing?
Oh, no, that was a whole nother thing. That was with Bria, this influencer who I adore. Yes. She's so nice. Bria like found, like was invited to like part of the event, but not the full event.
Yes.
And Bria's a black creator. Mm-hmm. So then people were like, is that what? Like, you know, it was just this whole thing.
Yes.
And then Maureen, I think basically was just like apologizing, saying like,
she put her mouth on her foot.
Not everyone was invited to everything, like blah, blah, blah. It was nothing intentional. And they switched all the accommodations and it was, it was interesting. I don't really know what the outcome of that was, but.
But that's, so what I would say is like, I remember that, like I associate Tarte with that more than the trip. Like the, didn't Alex Earl go with her mom? Like now that we're talking about it, there was like.
I think there was the Dubai trip. There was the Turks and Caicos one. And then there was F1 in Miami.
Yeah.
And they were, the F1 one and the Turks and Caicos one was like 2 weeks apart. And everyone that didn't get invited to the Turks and Caicos one went online and was like, I wish I could go, got invited to F1. And that was the thing. It's like this thing where if you publicly outcry, they'll I wish I was invited, they invite you.
So interesting.
They've never invited me because here I am.
Like, Maureen, I love you.
I'd love to go to more. No, I gotta say.
Yeah,
I won't say anything else. We will talk about F1 now.
Yeah, let's talk about F1. Speaking of F1.
You know, probably know more about this than me. Oh, and another beauty industry.
Another beauty industry. And also, like, just for fun, like, Netflix just released season 6 of Drive to Survive, if people want to watch.
Should I start from season 1?
Yes. Are you sick?
I know. My friend Jill, like, my best friend, watches Drive to Survive, and then she became so obsessed with F1 that now she, like, will wake up at 5 a.m. to watch the races.
Of course.
Like, she's obsessed.
Yes. All of this. It's so good. Like, I'm just pulling up the article.
Yeah, so it turns out Charlotte Tilbury, I believe, is the first.
It's the first female brand
and female women sponsored F1.
Yes,
whatever.
And so here's what's happening. Essentially, F1, like the F1 that you see on Drive to Survive, is just one component of F1.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's F1 Academy, which is female only racing. There's also like FAE.
Wait, there's female F1 drivers?
That's what they're sponsoring. Yeah. So F1 Academy is Formula One's female only racing championship. And it's officially made the company, Charlotte Tilbury, the first beauty line and first female founded brand to sponsor the sub league. Because there's also electric car F1 racing. So like, There's multiple sectors. Yes. So this is a sub-league, and it's women drivers.
I think it's
sick. And so Charlotte Tilbury is sponsoring the women drivers, which is incredible. It's like, I think it's so brilliant.
I think it's so smart because it's also like, our mascara lasts at 100 miles per hour.
I know. Like, just think of, like, the advertising that you can do with that. Or, like somebody taking off, like, their helmet and their face. Like, their beat is perfectly intact.
It's amazing.
Like, it's so smart.
It's so smart.
I love, obviously, seeing women, like, with the growth of, like, F1, because of Drive to Survive becoming more mainstream, like, there are more female-oriented viewers.
There
and we've
are.
Also seen that with the Taylor Effect with, like, all sports. But, like, it's such a smart play.
It's genius.
Because it's like these women, you know, like athletes can be like beautiful, they can be strong, mm-hmm. they can be sexy. Like, it's just so empowering.
And I just think it's monumental to be the first to do it mm-hmm. for Charlotte Tilbury to yes. be able to say, we are the first. Like, I think it would be really cool if they had a women's wear designer do like the suiting. Like, if you had yes. like a someone like, what's her name? DVF, who for years yeah. has talked about like the women's like wrap dress making fitting a women's body in their curves.
Oh my God, it would be amazing. If all of
a sudden someone like that created their outfits, I don't know. I'm sure they have to be a certain material, but that would be a cool thing too. I don't think of sports and think of fashion, but
DVF.
It's a cool thing to like kind of grandfather in.
Yeah.
That you're like this like long standing.
Yeah. It's really, really interesting. I think it's so genius. There was some like bad press that came up because Bella Hadid ended her partnership with Charlotte Tilbury. She was like one of the faces. Mm. And then everyone was like, oh, it's because she supports Palestine. But then it's like, that's not, I'll just be very clear, that's not true.
Well, I was going to say, what's Palestine have to do with F1?
No, no, this is Bella Hadid. This is Charlotte Tilbury.
Got it.
Charlotte Tilbury was in hot water because everyone said that they ended the partnership with Bella because she's spoken out about Palestine. But she actually, then it came out that she's launching her own makeup brand.
Yeah, so she's like, why am I going to be tied yes. to a makeup brand?
So she can't be the face of Charlotte Tilbury and launch her own makeup brand.
Interesting.
Oh, so it was hot water turned good, you know?
Yeah, and her PR team was like, spin it.
But then, you know, Bella and Charlotte, everybody's all hunky-dory and everything's fine. But I was like,
there's too many celebrity makeup skincare lines.
Yeah.
Like, do something different. Like, Kristen Cavallari does Uncommon James. But I'm mm-hmm. thinking of, like, does anyone own the jewelry space? Does anyone own, I don't know. Like, I feel like Gigi Hadid did the cashmere sweater thing. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it again. I don't even know if it's around anymore.
But, like, skincare, like, Brad Pitt has a skincare line. What?
Who the F is buying Brad Pitt's skin?
I don't know.
Because, like, you're not going to go online. It's not in store.
No.
I think if I was a celebrity, oh, my God, PR play, what I would do is launch a skincare and not have anyone know I'm behind it.
Yeah.
Like, almost like what Jessica Alba did with, like, Honest.
Yes.
Is that still around? I never hear about Honest anymore. But the way she kind of built this brand up, like, she was the face of it, but not really. Like, it didn't have to do with her. It wasn't mm-hmm. her aesthetic. It was, like, baby aesthetic. It was completely separate from her. Because
she didn't tie her name as the face yes. of the brand.
Yes.
And she built it to a $1 billion company.
Yes. Like, I would just create a company and invest so much money in marketing and have it get huge. And then, like, years down the road, be like, oh, by the way, that's my brand.
Yes. 100%.
Like, that would be sick.
The other, like, I think Aveline Wine and Cameron Diaz, I think that's another great example. One. Like, yes, she promotes it and things like that, but, like, she's not, like, always talking about it.
And
like,
it has such, because she's not in the press often, mm-hmm. it has such a standalone brand reputation.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, truly.
I know.
That's a great example.
I could do a whole episode on celebrity products.
No, me too. We actually should. That would be a fun topic. Let's spill the tea, shall we?
Yes. I'm so
There's excited. A lot of topics. One Day on Netflix.
Did you watch it?
Guys, we're going to spoil quickly, can we? Because you finished, right?
Yeah.
So, spoiler warning, in the event we talk about the last episode, because I have opinions.
Okay. Well, I'm not. Did you like it? Okay, here's the thing. Everyone was like, don't watch it. You're going to bawl your eyes out. Because I loved the show Normal People.
Me too. And it's and, like, similar
I
vibes.
I loved the book. It's similar vibes. Yeah. Like, I love, that's probably one of my favorite shows Me in the too. Last 5 years. If top not the top five. Show.
Yeah. yeah.
And
if not top
so
two.
I started watching one day and I'm like, this isn't, I'm like, fuck this, like, this isn't as good as normal. And Mm-mm. then I think it was like the last four episodes or something. I was like, oh my goodness.
But I think it's really weird when everyone's like, you have to get to the second to last episode until it gets good.
I know. I know.
I'm fatigued.
I know. Okay, but I binged it. Because it was also short. So that was good.
I think my opinion's super controversial.
Tell me.
I also watched it with Sean. And I don't know if anyone else feels this way in life. If you're watching something with someone else, do you not fully let yourself feel the emotions? Because you're, like, hyper aware of the fact you're with someone. Like, part of me wonders if, like, PMS Alyssa in bed would have had the same reaction as, like, Alyssa, like, staying strong for Sean. Even though
you would have been a puddle. Like, even if you just watch something on your own and you let yourself be completely vulnerable because nobody's around, like.
Okay, well, this is my spoiler warning one more time.
Okay.
Skip forward 1 minute. I thought the scene of her getting hit by the car ruined the whole sadness for me.
Why?
Because it was so fucking predictable that it was a car. I feel like we see that scene in every show. One Tree Hill, it's happened. That's just the one that comes to mind. Every single show, it is a girl crossing the street, a guy crossing the street, they get hit by a car.
And you know, because she was on, like, it's yes, the I love suspense. You, the second that you hear that yes. voicemail, and I saw it, I was like, oh,
like,
shit.
Like, Sean and I were talking, we're like, someone's going to die. Like, we knew, but I thought it was going to be a little bit more, like, a rare thing. Like, we thought, because she was talking about wanting kids, like, was it going to be a complication? Was it, like, I felt like, for a show that was so unpredictable and so different, it was so, like, it kind of pissed me off. And then the scene of her, like, laying dead on the ground.
I know.
Was so bad.
Like, I know.
I thought it was kind of bad acting. So I feel like it took the emotion out of it for me.
So here was my take. And I knew something was going to happen because she was on the bike and he was listening to the voicemail. And it was like,
they were setting it up.
And I was like, oh, fuck, something's happening. But, like, this is so stupid to say. I was like, she wouldn't have died. Like, the speed with which she got hit and she was in her helmet and when she was on the floor, I was like, she's not dead.
Yeah, like, she's fine.
Like, she's injured, but, like, that didn't kill her.
No, I'm telling you.
I hate that I feel that way.
No, the scene it was a bad scene in a good show.
Yeah.
It was the most pivotal scene. Mm-hmm. And it really, like, took a lot of the emotion out of it for me because I was like, oh, this is what happened?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, come on, this is a different type of show.
There was not a single drop of blood coming out of her helmet. And I don't need it to be, like, dark or vulgar, but I was like, at first I was like, oh, she, like, got hit by a car. Like, so casually to myself. And I was like, wait, like,
oh, she's fine, she'll roll. Like,
yeah. I expected her to just, like, twitch a little bit and get up.
Okay, so you kind of felt the same way.
I did with that scene, but then I was devastated. It was that scene.
But I think his emotion then is what made me sad. And, like, Sean got really sad about his conversation with his dad.
Okay, I was going to say, like, that one took me the whole way out. I could cry right now.
Yeah, and, like, I felt the dad emotional. Scene was... But I was, like, I was so, like, disturbed about, like, her face laying on the, like, cement that I was, like...
It took away from, like, the emotion because you're just like, what the hell?
Sean's, like, sobbing and I'm like,
oh my god,
I'm like, she got hit by a car. Like, I was so annoyed.
I was confused and then I realized what happened,
but again, if I was alone, like, maybe I would be sobbing.
Like, when I stopped watching, when I watched, like, the final episode, I had to go walk Chaco and, like, I was bawling my eyes, like, I was walking the dog crying. Still, I was like, people must think I'm crazy. I'm, like, wiping my eyes.
Sobbing.
I'm like, oh my god. Not normal people for me at all, but that's a high standard.
No, it was not normal people. Yeah. Nothing will ever be Connell's chain.
Oh my god.
He does it for me, that guy.
Paul Mescal.
He Mescal. Does it. Also, this might be kind of controversial, but I just need to.
I love that you preface every sentence.
Do you think there's a psychology behind the trope of brown-haired, plain girl, hot, hunky guy? Think about Twilight, 50 Shades of Grey.
Avatar.
Normal people.
Fourth wing. Like, weak, tiny, little girl.
I don't like, as a bigger woman, as, like, a woman with curves and, like, big lips, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I think they're trying to, like, make it relatable to everyone, but I find it not relatable.
Yeah, like, it's, like, meant to be, like, a plain Jane, but... okay, so One Day was a movie.
Yeah.
And it starred Anne Hathaway. Yeah. As, like, I'm like, Anne fucking Hathaway?
Yeah.
Daisy Edgar Jones is the plain ugly girl? Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me?
But I just find it so interesting that they always have to, like, make their hair weird. And, like,
the bangs. Like, they all have bangs.
Could you make an it girl get the guy? Like, I want to see someone with cool hair and cool clothes. Like, why do they have to make it so...
Because it's that, like, lusting that's so, like, it would never... Their love is so strong. It could never be possible.
Okay, but how about that
because
fucking
Anne guy?
Because
so ugly.
How about the guy can never get the girl? Like, why is it always women being the weak and, like...
Yeah.
It annoys me. I'm like, I want to see a power ass, like, woman and, like, a weak ass guy.
I know.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You want, like, a lover boy love story.
Well,
this is a very traditional, like, trope, like, story arc.
It just,
like,
kind of annoys me. Every book I read, it's like, oh, she's so frail.
Yeah.
It's like,
I know. I know.
Fourth wing.
Fourth wing, they're literally, like,
she's literally frail. Like, it's so annoying.
Because it's so true. And I know, like, the author, I've done so much research, has, like, a disability or a disorder. Like, there's something, so which is why she wrote it into the character. But I hear you loud and clear that it's just, like, every...
It's the same trope.
It's the same trope. It's like the same trope. It's like
woman.
Hunger Games, like in a sense, it's, you know what I mean?
Twilight, it's all Hunger Games. Everything I've ever consumed.
Yeah.
And it's bothered me my whole life.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, where's
I think
that?
Harry Potter is the only one that's not like that, but yeah. Harry Potter had nothing to do with
that. It's
sex.
Not about that. Yeah.
Oh, it drives romance. Me
insane.
No, it's a good point.
Are you caught up on Love is Blind?
I didn't watch the episodes that came out today.
Well,
but we can talk about them.
I watched them because I saw everything early, but what we can talk about is the fact that, like, shit's getting messy in the press with every single person.
I mean, okay, I said this. I made a post about this on my Instagram, and I might have wrote it in my newsletter, and I was like, this is the messiest season I've ever witnessed of Love is Blind.
Like, in the media or watching?
Just the couples that made it. I'm like, I have never felt so strongly that these couples should not be together. Mm. There's not one single one. Maybe Johnny and Amy that I'm, like, rooting for. All the other ones, I'm like, I can't. Like,
yeah.
Clay, you're talking about cheating? Absolutely not. Jimmy, Chelsea, I don't even feel bad about Jimmy. Chelsea, like, girl, get it together. Like, your insecurity is so deep.
It's her biggest enemy.
Yes, exactly.
My friend texts me, like, her thoughts watching it all, and her first sentence was like, I feel so bad for Chelsea. And I go, are we watching the same show?
I don't.
Wait until you see the next few episodes. Like, Sean and I were screaming at the TV because it's just one of those things where I do feel bad because, okay, actually, I have a controversial opinion that,
okay,
are they only showing us her absolute worst moments, which I admit are pretty bad and insecure, but are they only showing us the worst of her? Because there's got to be some really good redeeming qualities we're not seeing, because the way he talks about her when he's like, she's so this and she's so that and she's so great. I'm like, are we not seeing the good shit? I feel like they keep showing us alcohol fueled conversations.
So I have two thoughts there. Number one is, like, I know that in the pods, like, she was so, like, when it had nothing to do with looks, she was such a, like, vivacious, like, amazing personality and so confident and whatever. It's when it, like, came down to looks.
Yeah.
And I really feel like at the end of the day, she can feel that he might not be as physically attracted to her. Mm. And that's probably an underlying insecurity of hers, like, to begin with. And so it's festering and she's projecting. Yeah. Like, I think that's one part of it. But to your point, there was, who was Brittany and the guy, Kenneth?
Mm-hmm, Kenneth.
So their fight in the last series of episodes where he's, like, on his phone and she's, like, crying.
Yeah.
Jessica was on a podcast on the Vile Files and basically said, like, they had already broken up and they had an hours long conversation, and then the cameras came and they had to film it again, which is why he was like, I'm so done with this, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's, so it's like,
I'm telling you, there's,
I think, editing and, like, how things work, like, there's stuff we're not seeing.
Because I wonder if Chelsea's, like, way more, like, lovely than they're giving credit.
I think Chelsea was so lovely when she wasn't worried about what somebody thought about her physically.
Yeah.
But I think her insecurities, she's letting them get the best of
100%,
her.
100%. But I think they're showing us drunk conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I they're think taking she's been that, drunk in all of them.
They're taking that, like, type, like, they're typecasting her and they're rolling with it.
Like, I think every time she gets a drink in her, she's being kind of nutso. And that's what they're showing us. Because I could just tell. I'm like, I don't think she's sober. And then in the conversation the next day, like, they admitted it was drinking. And I'm like, I fucking knew it. Like, I could tell this wasn't rational behavior. Yeah. Again, doesn't excuse it. It's crazy behavior. But I'm just interested about, I feel like I've heard people on previous seasons say they only showed, like, my bad moments and none of my good ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got a contract from Netflix to do a reality show when I first moved here.
Pardon?
Like, they wanted to do this reality show and I was going to be on it. But, like, my friend's mom is an agent and she was like, I cannot let you sign this in good faith.
Yeah.
Because you are signing, it was, like, worse than, like, a bachelor contract, mm-hmm. she said. Like, mm-hmm. you're signing it all away, honey.
Yeah. I think I know too much to ever care to do reality TV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know too much. It's too damaging.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think it's interesting because now stuff is coming out with, who's the beef head?
Jeremy?
Matthew?
Travis? Trevor.
Trevor.
Oh, that he, like, had a girlfriend?
He had a girlfriend. Texts came out. Then people are saying that Jeremy also was engaged right before the show. And it's like,
and his like ex-fiance's mom like posts like, that's my daughter and my grandson.
But like, Trevor's shocking the nation because like, we thought he was a gentle giant.
Yeah,
like I was rooting for him. I met him in person. I'm like, he's lovely. And I know. We're sad.
So wait, are there full receipts?
Full text conversations, whether they're validated or not, I don't know, like, whether anyone's confirmed it's actually him. But it was, like, him being like, hey, babe, I landed. Like, I wound up really getting along with someone in the pods. Like, it was between, like, two of us. But, like, I love you so much. I miss you.
Oh, whoa. Mm-hmm.
And the girl knew he was going on the show and let him.
Well, yeah. I mean, people are going to go on there to be famous. It's the Bachelor formula, right? Like, to go be influencers. Did you see this whole thing on TikTok with Sarah Ann filming from Jeremy's house?
But I don't know why people are so surprised about that.
Because she's denying it.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
So there's part of me is like, I believe it. Yeah.
No, because she's been denying it and she's like, people think they know and blah, blah, blah. And there's this video and the girl's like, girl, like, people on TikTok solve murders. Like, you think they can't identify like a dresser in a photo from and Target?
She's also probably just saying that because contractually she's not allowed to be like, we're together.
For sure. It's so wild. Like, this is the messiest crew.
I just think the longer the show goes on, the messier it will get because of social media and the fame of the show. And but I still love it.
Oh, I'm having a great time.
I adore it. It's fantastic. And honestly, it does work.
I loved Laura catching Jeremy in his lie. Mm. Like, incredible TV. Who are the other couples? Oh, Johnny and Amy. They need to listen to our fertility episode.
I asked him full stop in person. I was like, did you not believe in, like, condoms or
and what ID? Was it?
Or, like, what? Like, why are there not other conversations being had? Why did we go from zero to vasectomy? Like, I don't get it. And he kind of beat around the bush and he was just like, yeah, like, I don't know what they aired because they hadn't seen back the episodes yet. He was like, but there was definitely more said. And I think since he's come out and admitted that he's like, was very uneducated on.
Yeah. So he also, I talked about this in a newsletter I wrote with Love is Blind, because like, there was a lot of like religious trope. And I know they're in the South and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, and there was like a scene of him like walking around the men's locker area or whatever in like with like a Bible.
Oh.
And I remember catching that.
So you think it's like the way he grew up?
Is it a religious thing?
Like he grew up like Mormon or something and like doesn't. No, but you know what? He's from New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
But I was like painting this picture, but then I'm like,
no, I thought it was maybe a religious thing.
He just like, honestly, I don't like, we're not taught about a lot of this. It's on you to
back to the healthcare. I'm like, America.
No, but like, it's kind of on you to like do your research. Like, I don't know how he just got to vasectomy as the option.
Where are his parents?
But I think there was more to the story. I don't know if he told me this or she said this on an interview. I heard it somewhere that she has like some kind of like health thing with
so maybe certain fertility.
But apparently, there was like a lot contraceptives more for than her. We knew. But again, I think they're probably kind of embarrassed, let's be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, they are the worst of that show's problems this season.
Oh yeah, I think that they actually seem really quite happy together.
I know you've spoiled, I know you know it, like you know how it ends. You've seen everything.
No, I don't. They gave the media every single episode except the final one.
Oh.
So we actually don't. Okay. I think that was smart because they don't want to get it out.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give it to one person.
I wonder if any of them, I could see Clay and AD going to the altar.
I think they're together.
But I think it's
mistake. Is literally just me based off of, actually, do I think they're together?
You've seen more than me. And I'm like, I think they go to the altar, but I think they should.
I was just trying to read their body language in person, even though no one gave me anything.
Really? Did they let the girls and guys interact with you?
No, they're separate. Literally, no one gave me anything because they're not allowed to. But this is just me being like, oh, by their aura.
Like, I have no idea.
I'm feeling their energy.
I think
Clay and AD are together.
I thought it was interesting, though, because we were allowed to interview everyone except Chelsea and Jimmy, or Johnny, what's his name?
Jimmy.
And I'm wondering, like, if they must have such an explosive thing if, like, they're not talking to press.
Yeah, it can't be good.
So maybe something juicy happens.
And didn't something juicy happen in these episodes? Because, like, they met his friends and their girlfriends.
Yes.
And everyone's, like, the friends that they chose to meet are friends that he's had for, like, less than five years.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's like, oh, he fucked one of them for sure. And then wasn't there, like, a thing where she's,
there was a clip of her being like, he fucked her.
God, Chelsea. Chelsea, walk away, girl.
Walk away, sis. Yeah. That was crazy. Okay. Our next topic.
I mean, how much time do we have?
I know. I was like, this is a long one. But you're more well-versed in this than me.
Okay, I will try to make it.
Give me cliff notes.
Very short. So, we have not seen Kate Middleton since Christmas Day. Where's my tinfoil Craig Conover cap, please?
We need a missing sign.
We have not seen Princess Kate. Oh, God. Since Christmas. And allegedly, she went in for some sort of abdominal surgery in January. And they were like, she's going to be in hospital 14 days. And it's a really long recovery, so she's not going to do any of her public work as a public servant until Easter will be the first time we see her, which is the end of April. And so, beginning of April.
Oh, so they already preemptively told us we won't see her until April.
But here was the thing. There's a few things. Number one, there were paparazzi sitting outside of that hospital waiting to shoot her. They saw William go in and visit her. Charles was photographed going to his prostate surgery. Not one person got a single photo. And I know my friend's boyfriend, they live in London, had LASIK in the same hospital. She sent me photos and she's like, these people were standing out here night and day and they didn't get one single photo of Kate ever. So that's one piece. Let's bucket
like the
that.
Media, like basically the media complying with
either
the wishes.
Or she was never there.
Or they took her out. Couldn't they take her through an underground little tunnel or something?
Possibly. But like, you would think that it's interesting that they've never not gotten a photo of royals ever. Like, you got Prince Harry in a Nazi costume.
All I'm thinking is are they complying with the, basically, from a publicist, it's like, the royal family is like, listen, don't take a picture of Kate because we'll give you Charles going to get his prostate exam.
Yes, but like even in those instances, they're always the media, the British media, like
they're
Harry
ruthless.
And Meghan are suing so many. Like,
yeah.
They're ruthless.
They want the money.
None of them have a photograph of this woman is alarming. So then the second piece that was crazy was like Kate has been taken back to Kensington Palace. She wants to remain in private, blah, blah, blah. We're like respecting her. Like that in the history of the royals has never happened. Like Charles came out with a full thing saying he had cancer. Like, you are public servants. The British public pay their taxes, pay for your life. You represent
that. What a weird ass concept. Like,
so you don't ever get the choice to be a private citizen. So the fact that she's getting this choice, everyone's like, this is odd.
What do people think it is? Is anyone speculating or like people don't want to say?
It's, everybody is speculating. That's
no, but I'm saying, like,
now.
Do people have theories or?
So they think there's a few things. They think that she is either pregnant, but she had this thing.
Sickness where she had morning sickness every single day.
Emesis. So they think she's pregnant. So she's like so ill and she's older. Like she's like a geriatric pregnancy. So that's one thing that people think. People think that William has been like having this affair with this Rose Chomley woman who's like in their circle.
And she's trying to leave him.
Either trying to leave him or people think she had a mental breakdown and she's in a rehab facility.
Oh, Lord. I hope she's okay.
And then the third thing is like people think that whatever her surgery was actually something that like she's dying or she's in a coma.
She's unwell.
Like it went wrong. So it's like that's the thing like that where people are at now is like so many people are speculating about where Kate is. You would think that Kensington Palace would just release a photo.
Yeah.
They haven't because they can't. So like people think she's like in a coma or whatever. That's why everybody's tweaking because it's so unheard of that again, like you are public servants. You are not, I hate to say this, like entitled to your privacy is how British people feel. And so the fact that nobody is seeing her.
I'm just like scared for her.
Me too. I'm like worried, right? And so it's like, where is she? But then again, the internet takes hold and things spiral. And then there was this thing that happened this week that really catapulted it, is that William was supposed to go to the funeral for the King of Greece, who was his godfather.
Yes, I heard
and
this.
And then he pulled out for personal matters.
And everyone's like, why would he pull out?
Yes. So that's strange. And then also Charles, we're getting all, to your point of like the transactional of it, like we hear about Charles's prostate cancer. We're getting all the Charles updates, not a single update on Kate. And like, that's also bizarre.
It makes me like scared for her because like,
no, something's wrong.
I just don't trust the royal family. Like, I think they move sketchy.
Something is
wrong. And it just freaks me out for her safety and like well-being and mental health. Like, especially, I know a lot of people don't believe Meghan Markle, but like when Meghan Markle in her documentary was saying that her mental health was like really hurting and like no one was helping her. And it makes me like scared for them.
Yes. And so that's the thing. It's like nobody ever helps any, like, yes, there are the trade-offs, but it's like the fact that people are being compliant, whether like in Kensington and the media, is what's so fucking weird about it.
If I was them, I like her, I'd still like want to go on live and be like, hey guys, it's Kate. By the way, like, they're holding me hostage.
Just checking it. Britney Spears dancing. She's in her mental facility.
With a knife.
Like something's wrong. And we have no idea. Like we can joke about it because we have nothing else to do. Like,
no, I'm scared for her.
You're giving us nothing. It's alarming.
Pray for Kate. Like that's scary. Yes. And even if she is sick.
And like everyone's like Gone Girling. Like, you know, like all the images from Ben Affleck and Gone Girl. And then like I posted on my stories. It's like, they're like, they aired photos of like Prince Philip literally as like a corpse in a car, like, and they're not posting Kate, like something's up.
Yeah, everyone's like, they're posting like the ins and outs of his, like every little scan and like nothing.
Nothing.
They think they could just feed us stuff about him to silence her.
And so now the last thing I'll say is like,
now I'm really invested.
Harry went, obviously after his dad announced his prostate cancer, or sorry, it's not prostate. I don't know if it's prostate, but.
Yeah, something.
And so Harry went and then Harry came back. But what people are also speculating now is like, if Kate actually is passing away, like William will.
I hope not.
Like William's going to ask Harry to come back and work as a royal, be a working royal.
Like it was like a meeting.
Yeah. Again, speculation. I hope
she's well. I know. This freaks me out.
I know.
Also, that would be so traumatic because Princess Diana died like young.
The family's cursed.
Like it's crazy. Yeah. It's like the Kennedys.
Yes. It's really, really scary. And she has three young kids.
Oh, God. I really hope she's okay. It freaks me out.
That's why I was like, where is she? I'm like spinning.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Okay. So, well wishes for Kate.
Well wishes for Kate. Sorrows and prayers.
Yes. To pivot to something lighter.
Please.
Kristen Cavallari. Cavallari or Cavallari? Like, how do
Cavallari?
You say it? Cavallari.
Kristen Cavallari.
Kristen Cavallari hard launched her relationship with a young man. I forget his name.
His name is Matthew Estes, something Estes. He's my friend's cousin, actually, which is wild.
God bless. He's very attractive. I think I got kind of in a little bit of like flack because I'm like all about women and I posted something being like, for the record, she's 37, .. He's 24. Like I posted something kind of shady and people were DMing me being like, who cares? Like men do it all the time. And my reply was, I don't like when they do it either. And then everyone was like, okay, true.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel that way across the board, we don't care. And my thing is less about the age gap. Sometimes for me, it's about where the age gap is in relation to where you're at in life. Yes. And what I have a problem with is that his last photo says hashtag senior week.
I mean, look,
and that's where I'm running into an issue.
Here's where I've run into an issue. I'm by no means ageist. I love when Harry and Olivia dated. I loved Pete and Kim Kardashian.
Yes, I don't care.
I don't care about their age. It seems so, I again talked about this, like the commodification of like couples, like you don't post your boyfriend. I love that like about you in the sense of like, you didn't get into a relationship to like
exploit him,
make content.
Yeah.
You know, and like apparently this guy is part of this like guy group, the Montana Boys. They do like thirst trap, like hype house type videos.
They're all stunning.
They're all stunning. And like, it just seems so advantageous. Like, this is not a real relationship. This is a relationship
but
for
views. This is a guy you have sex with and you don't post about.
Well, no, because she's launching something coming soon with Uncommon James. Like, she wants to be in the press.
True,
like, well,
she did this with Tyler Cameron.
Yes. This is not a real relationship. And of course, everyone is going to talk about it because he's 10 and she's 37. Like,
This is my thing. I'm all for age gaps when at the right stage. Like, so let's say he was 34 and she was 47.
Yes.
I wouldn't bat an eye. It's because I'm like, how could you relate to someone that just graduated college?
Correct. And you are a mother of two kids.
Yeah, it's not the age gap. It's the time of the
gap. It's like where you are in life.
Yes. And that's where I
have
a hard
time. They're not the
same chapter. Where like I look at his Instagram and his last picture was in college.
Yes.
That's where I'm struggling. And that's why I wish I clarified yesterday on my story where I posted it. Because I think people thought I was being like ageist. And I really wasn't. It was really the photos of him in college that threw me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking like me at that age, me the year after I graduated college, I was a child.
Well, yeah, but she probably doesn't care. Even if they're even actually hooking up, you know what I mean?
I mean, they're definitely having sex.
Yeah, like, so let's say they're having sex. They are. Like, she's just having fun.
Honestly,
this isn't like he's going to be the stepfather to my children.
Okay, did you think?
I thought it was like kind of, I'm like trying to not be mean. I thought it was a little interesting.
Can I say something controversial?
To go from like dating like an NFL player to like a college football star.
Oh, like, yeah. I felt like it was just, like, an interesting...
But don't you also think he probably, like, worships the ground she walks on 100%. Right now?
100%. He's literally also the hottest man I've ever seen.
But, like, he's a child.
Like, I don't blame her for getting with him. Like, no. He's hot.
But he's in a different,
like... And he might be a really nice guy.
Yeah. His, what is it? Frontal lobe hasn't fully developed
yet. Oh, yeah. He's not even 25.
Yeah.
Don't men's frontal lobe not develop until, like, 30 or something?
I think it's later. Yeah. Later 20s.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Oh, Lord, not Ekansu.
Oh, Lord, not Ekansu. God, traitors. Another one I could talk about.
Seriously. Okay. Last and final topic that no one's surprised about. Andy Cohen. Well, actually, Liam McSweeney came out with a lawsuit against Andy Cohen today.
Was it a lawsuit? Him? Or was it just mentioned in a lawsuit?
Liam McSweeney allegedly alleged
yeah.
that Andy Cohen
does cocaine
with like housewives and always brings party favors, yada yada.
Yes.
Is anyone surprised?
No. And then Kathy Griffin went on some podcast or was like talking to Page Six, and she was like, I've done Watch What Happens Live twice, and both times he like brought me into his office and offered me a bump of cocaine. And again, I'm like, I'm not surprised. Like, of course Andy Cohen does cocaine. Of course he would invite the housewives to do.
100. Is it appropriate? No. Is it? Does this stuff happen?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think they're also probably like, Andy, you got the coke? Like, I think it's like kind of a thing where they're all partying and they're out. And like,
you think of that baby shower that he had?
Yeah.
For his first child.
Snoring lines.
Yeah. Come on. Dancing on the table.
Yeah. Like, come on. But like, this is the thing. It's inappropriate because he is technically their boss. Like, you would think he'd be a little bit more careful, but I do think those lines get blurred in certain industries where you're drinking. We were just saying, like the Tarte trip, like you're getting blackout drunk on work. Like, it does get blurred in some industries. I know that.
And yes, this is an illegal substance, but he also has like different. Very long-standing friendships and relationships with these women. You know what I found the most shocking of this whole thing was like Andy Cohen is best friends with John Mayer, and John Mayer is like sober.
That is interesting.
How, like, what is that relationship like when, like, you have a party friend and then suddenly they're, like...
They just might not, like, party together.
Yeah.
Like, their relationship.
But, I mean, I'm not this... I feel like this is, like, a whole nothing burger. I don't know if Leah was trying to, like, do something with this, but, like, nothing's gonna happen.
This is really random, but when I saw John Mayer in person, I've never thought I saw Edward Cullen more in my life. Like, I can't explain the way his presence was. Like, he was outside in L.A. wearing a trench coat down to his ankles, and like, his skin was, like, glossed, and his hair was, like, perfectly coiffed, and I was like, Edward Cullen.
Say it not out loud.
Not that they look alike, but it was giving that walking essence, vampire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I've gotten older, I never like had a thing for John Mayer, and I thought he was like such an asshole. But as I've gotten older,
oh, I'm attracted.
I find him so hot.
I've always found him attractive, like physically. I've always loved his music. His personality loses me a little because I don't know if I'm as intellectual in the sense like he goes on these tangents.
Yeah.
These like soliloquies where I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, if I'm being honest. And I'm pretty smart. I have no clue what you're fucking saying.
Your eyes glaze over.
It's like when Edward stares into your soul and like brainwashes like vampires.
Okay.
I'm
like, okay, suck my blood.
Yeah, I have no clue, but
yeah.
Sorry, that was a tangent. But
no, I loved it.
Yeah, I think the thing with Andy Cohen, I do think things might come down on him once. Because there's too many allegations. We have Brandi Glanville suing him this week. We have this Liam McSweeney thing. I think...
You have Bethany Frankel coming.
Bethany, which is crazy. I think there might be, like, something. I don't know if it's ever going to, like, change or what. But I do feel like people are trying. They're trying.
They're definitely trying. I don't know. I think it'll take... And again, maybe it's, like, the collective, but I'm interested.
You know what's sad about, like, an Andy Cohen... like, to take his job to replace him, you would have to start prepping someone from now.
It would be impossible.
Like, you almost have to start, like, coding the audience with someone, like, new
over years and years and years.
Because anyone that steps into his shoes, no one's going to be happy.
Well, it's like Chris Harrison.
That's what I was thinking.
Jesse Palmer.
Yep.
You are, when I, like, watch The Bachelor, I associated so much of it with Chris Harrison. Like, I don't even think about Jesse Palmer.
100%.
You know, or, like, Jeff Probst in Survivor. If he ever left, like, what do you do?
New season tonight.
Oh, is there? Oh my God.
I think that's it for today. We talked a shit ton.
I loved it.
I loved it too. We will be back next Tuesday. Should we tell people where to follow us?
Yeah, of course. You can follow me at Lex Nico everywhere. I also have a Substack, lexnico.substack.com.
Fun. I just switched my handle, so it is at Alyssa Amoroso now. And you can follow me there and buy my tea at Tea with Publicity. Thank you guys so much. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.